The verses we have read together from the book of Acts would, I'm sure, make a wonderful study for this morning. You've noticed that the topic is giving in the early church. We have an example of individual giving in Dorcas, and then we have an example of collective giving in the church when they sent the offering to Jerusalem. But we will follow our studies in the journeys of the children of Israel, and we have come to this page 18 of your little booklet, and the title of the topic is Singing in the Desert. And we will read from Exodus chapter 15, commencing to read at verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea. And the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them, but the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." Now I want to read a number of references with you from the book of Psalms, which is, as you know, Israel's song book. The first reference I want to read with you is in Psalm 33, the 33rd Psalm, and the first verse. "Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp, sing unto him with a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song, play skillfully with a loud noise, for the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." Psalm 40, and beginning to read at verse 1. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me, and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God." Psalm 96. And verse 1. "O sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth." Psalm 98. "O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory." Psalm 144, and verse 7. "Send thine hand from above, rid me and deliver me out of great waters, from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God, upon psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee." Psalm 149. "Praise ye the Lord. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise in the congregation of the saints." Now let us read a verse together in the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 42. Thank you. Isaiah 42 and verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. Behold, the former things are come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing unto the Lord a new song, and his praise from the end of the earth. Ye that go down to the sea, and all that is therein, the isles and the inhabitants thereof. Now I want to read just one other verse in the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 9. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now you have noticed that I have read with you the first song in the Bible. We have read it in its entirety. And then I have read, as far as I know, every reference in the Bible to the new song. It is rather striking that we should have just 7 references to this new song in the Old Testament. And I am convinced of this, that it would be possible to take these 7 references to the new song and link them all up beautifully with this first song we have read together. In my mind, I have read them with you. I have noticed striking comparisons between the new song that the psalmist talked about and the song that Moses sang. And then, of course, in the New Testament, we have just 1 reference to the new song, the reference in the book of Revelation, but it is very inclusive. That one little reference in that book includes in it all of the many features of the song in the book of Exodus. Now, if you have your little book and if you will turn to page 18 in it, you will notice that we have a little outline of the lesson that we are to look at this morning, and we have divided it into 4 very simple little parts. The first is the time of the song. Then we have the text of the song. We have the theme of the song. And then we have the teaching of the song. We have noticed before that this is the first song in the Bible, and it is the first reference to singing. It's rather striking that we do not read of Adam singing in the Garden of Eden. Perhaps he did. I don't know. We do not read of Jacob singing. We do not read of Abraham singing. We do not read of Joseph singing. And then when we have the children of Israel in the land of Egypt, as we have noticed in past nights, there was groaning and weeping and sadness and sorrow, but no singing. Even when they were led forth that Passover night with such joy and hilarity, there is no reference to singing. It is rather striking that God has reserved the use of this word until we read, as we have read together this morning, "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord." We used to have an old book that we sang out of in the meetings that has been gradually replaced with choice hymns of the faith. The wonderful thing of that old book was the title. It was Redemption Hymns. I remember, and I happened to be one of the editors of Choice Hymns of the Faith, that we spend a great deal of time and discussion as to what to call that hymn book. And we had almost as many names as they have together for the new cars that they're making. And we had to pick out from this long list a name for the new hymn book. And I think every one of the editors decided that the very best name you could possibly get for a hymn book was that old title, Redemption Hymns. For this first song is linked with redemption. It was a redeemed people, and only a redeemed people that could properly sing to the Lord. And even in that new song we have read about in the book of Revelation, did you notice that it too was a song of redemption? For the people who sing it sing, "Thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every tribe and kindred and nation, and hast made us priests unto our God, and we shall reign over the earth." Now there are certain characteristics of this song in the book of Exodus. There are two of the singing of God's people. I haven't this in our outline, but if you want to, you can write it on your little book. The first thing I want to notice with you, that it is a song unto the Lord. Now that is very striking, for there are not too many songs that are written unto the Lord. That is, not today. If you were to take the average hymn book and finger through it, or look through the index, and try to find some hymns unto the Lord, you would be amazed to find out how very, very few there really are. There are a lot of nice hymns about the Lord, and that's the second characteristic of this song. It is about the Lord, but there are very, very few songs that are unto the Lord. Now, it's very nice to sing about the Lord, but it is most wonderful to sing to the Lord. You have noticed that every reference that we have read about this new song in the book of Psalms is that it's a song not only about the Lord, but it is a song unto the Lord. This is very wonderful about our gatherings together as children of God in the name of the Lord Jesus. There, like no other place I know, songs of praise arise unto the Lord. Just look through the index of our good old believers hymn book and get to the part with the letter L and look under the section where we have hymns starting with the name of Lord or O Lord. You'll be amazed how many hymns there are unto the Lord. And then there are those that are not in the hymn book. Think of this one. O Lord, we adore thee, for thou hast redeemed us. Thou livest forever, enthroned in heaven. And so sometimes I have noticed on a Sunday morning that hymn after hymn is just a tribute of praise and adoration to the Lord. If these little meetings were to disappear from the earth, heaven, friends, would be poorer. For after all, that is the purpose for which we have our being. We are here on earth for the praise and the glory of God. We are not here to make a success in the world. We are not here to make a pleasant life for ourselves and for our loved ones. We are not here to get as much pleasure as we can and as much money as we can. We are here on earth to give God pleasure, and he inhabits the praises of his people. This hymn is unto the Lord. This hymn is about the Lord. And this hymn typically is with the Lord. You see, Moses, who was the picture of the Lord Jesus as a deliverer of his people, and Aaron, who was the picture of the Lord Jesus as a priest of his people, sang this song along with the children of Israel. And it's rather striking that our song, too, is not only about the Lord and not only unto the Lord, but it is a song that we sing with the Lord Jesus. Do you remember in Psalm 22, after he speaks of all the suffering that he bore alone and all the sorrow that was his, just before the psalm closes, he says, in the midst of my brethren will I praise thee. And when that's repeated in Hebrews, it said, in the midst of the church will I sing praises unto thee. In Psalm 18, we have a very similar expression at the close of a psalm that speaks of his triumphs. And in Romans chapter 15, we have that repeated. The Lord Jesus singing with his people. Have you ever thought of the possibility of that? It is very, very little known. I also happen to be one of the editors of that hymn book that is called Hymns of Worship and Remembrance. And I remember sitting around a conference table with the other brethren who worked on it, and I said, now you know we haven't many hymns in this book that we can sing together with the Lord Jesus. And they looked at me rather amazed. You'd be surprised who they were. Men who have preached on this platform, men whom you and I esteem very, very highly. And they said, why, we never heard much about that. I said, no, but the Bible speaks of it. And we sing about it, do we not? We sing, join the singing that He lead us. Loud to God our voices raise. And He is the chief musician. Now we ought to have some hymns that we could really sing together with the Lord. And then very hesitatingly I suggested that maybe we should put a psalm or two in, because the psalms were the language of the Lord Jesus. And would you believe it, friends? You could look through Good Old Believer's hymn book. You could look through Little Flock hymn book. And you could look through hymns of praise, of worship and remembrance. And you would not find this lovely hymn of worship. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me down to lie. In pastures green He leadeth me, the quiet waters by. Isn't that almost unbelievable? You would say, however is it possible that that lovely hymn of worship that was the language of the Lord's heart when He was on earth, for He was the Lamb of God, but that hymn that we both could sing together is omitted in three of the finest worship hymn books that have ever been found on earth. This hymn was not only unto the Lord, it not only was about the Lord, but it was a hymn that could be sung jointly with the Lord. For He knew what it was to pass through the waters of the Red Sea. He knew what it was to say, all thy waves and billows have rolled over me. He passed through it in all its fury. We pass through it as the result of what He has done, but we stand together on resurrection ground, and God expects us to sing together, and we will be doing that pretty soon. Pretty soon we will be gathered together in the name of the Lord Jesus. We will be standing on resurrection ground. We will remember that we have been delivered from Egypt through the blood of the Lamb and through the mighty work of God at the Red Sea. And we will sing unto Him and about Him and with Him. This song is a song of victory, a song of hope, and a song of gratitude. Now with these few thoughts before us, it maybe we can glean some lessons from the time of the song. You've noticed the time of it was the time when we died with Him and the time we rose with Him. If you were to turn to the last part of chapter 14, you would notice in verse 31, and Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song. You see, the song is preceded by something we see and something we believe, and then there is a conscious experience of having to do with the Lord. I will just read the little parts after this first section. It was after they'd been redeemed from Egypt as the song of redemption. It was after they had passed through the Red Sea, it was a song of resurrection. It was after they had been delivered from their enemies. It was a song of relief. It was when Israel rejoiced in the Lord. It was a song of rejoicing. And I've added a little note in the notes that I had. It was a song of reckoning. Israel not only thanked God for deliverance from Egypt, but they thanked God in anticipation for deliverance from Canaan. I do not know whether I can just lay my hand upon the verse, but there's a verse, look at verse 15 of our chapter. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed, and mighty men of Moab shall tremble, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. This was a song of reckoning, and they reckoned that all their enemies were already subdued. Now, there's something very suggestive in the text of the song. This is a borrowed outline, this second part. You'll notice in verse 21 of our chapter, Exodus 15, that Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown in the sea." You'll notice that's the beginning of the song in verse 1. "I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he cast into the sea." Now, Mr. Scroggie suggests that Miriam answered with this chorus, and he thinks that the whole song was kind of divided that way. Israel would sing together verses 3 and 5, and then Miriam would join in with the ladies with the chorus. She would answer them as we have it in verse 21. I do not know whether that is exactly true or not, but he tells us that that was the characteristic of Hebrew singing. And it would be rather wonderful to read the song that way. I have never tried it, but I have often thought of it, especially if I were speaking to young people where you kind of dare to take a little more liberty. If I were to read, say, verses 3 and 5, and then have the young people answer with Miriam's answer, "Oh, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously." Then read the other verses, and then have them join in with the chorus. What a song it was, the text of the song. And then we have the theme of the song. First, it is what God is to his people. And we have this repeated, you'll notice, in Psalm 118:14, Isaiah 12:2. There are three things to them that start with the letter S. Very easy to remember, very strikingly significant. He is their strength, he is their song, and he is their salvation. It is amazing how many things God is to his people, even in this first song in the Bible, and how much they say about him in this song, and how little they say about themselves. In fact, there's only one thing they say about themselves, and that is, it's time to quit. They say, "We are his people." Well, that really is enough, isn't it? We don't need to say very much about ourselves if we can say a great deal about the Lord Jesus. You remember the story of the Christian who was arrested and had to appear before the magistrate for preaching in the street where he was not supposed to preach. All the Christians were with him in court that day, and The judge says to the prisoner, he says, "Have you anything to say for yourself, sir?" "No, Your Honor," said the prisoner, "but I have a great deal to say about the Lord Jesus, if you'll let me." Of course, they wouldn't let him. There's nothing in this song about themselves, just that we're his people, but there's an awful lot about the Lord. I commend to you those 8 scriptures I read with you about the new song. You'll find a delightful field for meditation, and by and by, bless God, we'll sing that new song, the real song of redemption. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we can say with the psalmist, "Thou hast taken our feet out of the miry clay and out of the horrible pit. Thou hast put a new song in our mouth. Israel was delivered out to the Red Sea. Thou didst put a new song in their mouth." We look forward to the short time this morning that we will be spending gathered in the name of the Lord Jesus to sing his praises, to give to the Lord the honor and the glory that is his due. Hasten the day when in perfection we will sing in his presence the new song. We commend ourselves to thee. Bless the word that has been spoken to the children today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.